Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we come as parched ground to your word of life and power, asking, O God, that you would refresh and renew us by your word of power and grace. For Christ's glory and sake, we do pray. Amen. Recently, a woman told me, she said, I can take anything if it will come to an end. There's no limit to what I can face with God's help in the short run. What is difficult for me is when I face a problem and then it eases up. I relax and I think all is well. And then a whole new wave of troubles overcome me. This woman was speaking of her son of the covenant who had turned his back on the Lord and on his family who greatly and dearly loved him, and of her prayers of faith, her example of love set before her son. Perhaps we can identify with this woman, whether we have children or not. Perhaps our particular challenges may be more in our work situation or with relationships with others. Short term, we can handle a difficulty with God's help. But when the thing drags on and on endlessly, we're tempted to toss in the towel. Perhaps this is what the Apostle Paul was feeling as he makes his way into the great city of Corinth. The account before us of Paul's ministry at Corinth is not only an account of the Spirit's working through the Apostle Paul. It is also an account of the Spirit of God and God Almighty himself working in the Apostle Paul. Our passage begins with these words in verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. He made the 53-mile trek south-southwest from Athens to the city of Corinth. And we find as he enters the city of Corinth that the apostle is burdened. He's weary. He has battled much. And we find him struggling. He writes in his own words in his first letter to these believers at Corinth that when he came, he says, I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. The scriptures do not reveal for us the source of the Apostle Paul's difficulties. Perhaps it was his ministry at Athens, as he reflected on it, that it didn't bear perhaps as much fruit as he thought. Perhaps it was the continual opposition that he encountered from the Jewish leaders of the synagogues, his beatings, his imprisonment. He was stoned and left for dead. Perhaps it was that now he is alone. He left Silas and Timothy in Macedonia. In Athens, he ministered alone. And now as he enters the city of Corinth, we find him all alone. Maybe it was the lack of funds. We read in this passage that the Apostle Paul returned to his skill of tent making, of leather working. The money had come to an end. Perhaps this was a great burden and weight upon him. Perhaps it's now as he enters the city of Corinth and he sees the spiritual darkness of the people in this city, in the peninsula of Greece, where there was great trade and much wealth and great corruption. Corinth was known is a city of great immorality. It was the Vanity Fair of the Roman Empire. It was known, it was a proverbial saying, that if one was from Corinth, that indeed they were immoral. Perhaps the darkness and the weight of the spiritual deadness of the people at Corinth and their way of life opposed to God bore a heavy blow in the mind and heart of the apostle. Their immorality went right to their practice of religion. For 500 feet above the city, there on a mountainous plateau at the top, was the great temple of Venus, Aphrodite, with her 1,000 slaves that served during the day and at night were set loose on the streets of Corinth as prostitutes. It was indeed a dark place. And it is striking that the Apostle Paul wrote at Corinth the book of Romans. Perhaps he was thinking of the citizens there. Though they knew something of God, they did not give thanks to Him. They did not serve Him or acknowledge Him. And they became deprived, depraved in their own thinking. Perhaps all of these were factors that led the Apostle Paul to be burdened and heavy laden. The glory of the gospel. For the Apostle Paul, a saint weary in ministry, or for you and I today, is that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as He was spoken even of in the Old Testament, anticipating His coming, that He is the one who renews and refreshes His people. He's described in Isaiah as the one who is tender with a bruised reed about to break and come apart. A bruised reed He will not break. A flickering wick, a candle that's about to go out, He will not quench. And this is what we find the Lord doing in the heart and the life of the apostle and his ministry at Corinth. We find that the Lord indeed does four things and provides four things for the Apostle Paul that he would be encouraged and strengthened in his faith. He is, first of all, given the gift of fellowship with the saints. And secondly, the blessings of new converts. And thirdly, the promise of fellowship with God Almighty Himself. And lastly, in this passage, the protection of God and the frustration of enemies against Paul and against the gospel. Certainly blessings to the Apostle Paul and blessings and encouragement to us, God's people today. First, God provided the Apostle Paul, who came into the city all alone, the gift of Christian fellowship. Paul was ministering in Athens alone. And perhaps we think that we can carry on the work of God Almighty alone. And perhaps for a period of time in ministry, we can. But God's design is that we work together in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as a team. That He has given us various gifts and abilities for the building of the saints and for the glory of His name and the advancement of the gospel. This is the very pattern of Christ Himself, is it not? When Christ sent out His disciples in pairs to do the work. The Apostle Paul, weary and tired and exhausted, enters now the city of Corinth. And God provides new friendships, believers in Jesus Christ, with a common trade and avocation. We've already read of Aquila and Priscilla, Hebrew Christians who because of the rule of Claudius, left Rome and have made their way now to Corinth. And they extend hospitality, not only of their home, but of their hearts and their love for Jesus Christ in support of the Apostle Paul. And as those who were tent makers like the Apostle Paul, they provided an opportunity for the Apostle to work and to use his hands in leather working. The Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians speaks of partnership. I'm sure a number of you men and women are in partnerships, partnerships in legal or medical causes. Well, God has given the Apostle Paul partners in the gospel. This couple, this dear couple in faith. Perhaps as you, as a believer in the ministry to which Christ has called you in your home or at your work, or here among our own congregation in various facets, as you face difficulties and trials and problems, the Lord Jesus gives us one another to support, to pray for, to befriend, to encourage. In the short time that I have been among you, I have seen many, many examples of fellow Christians supporting and caring one for another. God not only provided the Apostle Paul new friends, he also provided old friends that he labored with previously. For we read that Timothy and Silas come to Corinth. They, as we read elsewhere, bring a gift from the various churches and especially Philippi to support the Apostle Paul so that now he can proclaim the word not just on the Sabbath day in the synagogue, but each and every day as he devotes himself, as he gives himself to the proclamation of the gospel. The weary apostle, burdened, discouraged, has provided friends, the fellowship of the saints. But we find as well encouragement to the Apostle Paul in the working of the gospel, in regeneration and conversion, that they're the blessing of converts. We read of Paul's proclamation of the gospel in the pagan and dark city of Corinth, that indeed it did bear fruit. We read of Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, a position of authority and responsibility and respect, of he and his whole family embracing the gospel. We read of the man who lived next door to the synagogue, Titius Justus, coming to faith. And Luke provides in verse 8 a summary of Paul's ministry, of the advancement of the gospel in the end of verse 8. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. What a great blessing. Those who come to faith in Jesus Christ. A reminder to the Apostle Paul of the sufficiency of God's word. And that God is the one who is at work, though he indeed is weak and weary. That God's word is strong and mighty and powerful. That the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost. For the gospel is proclaimed. We find reception and warmth. But we also find vitriolic rejection. The Jewish leaders opposed the message of the gospel that the Apostle Paul brought. And the Apostle Paul is an indication of the judgment that would be against them for rejecting the Savior of glory, Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah and deliverer. He shook out his garments, much as it was common for the Jewish people to shake the dust off their shoes when they're in pagan land and come back into the land of promise as a sign of judgment. The Apostle Paul, faithful to the gospel, reminding them of the consequences of their unbelief and appealing to them that they might embrace Jesus Christ. He reminds them the consequences, saying that their blood would be on their own heads, drawing from Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 8, that he indeed was innocent, that he faithfully made known the gospel. And he says that now I will go to the Gentiles. And this pattern we find in the book of Acts, to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. Other sheep have I, Christ said, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. As a congregation of God's people, we too are to be encouraged as we see the ways in which our God is at work among us, as hearts and minds and eyes are being opened and awakened to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of that gospel in bringing about change. My friends, if you find yourself weary and discouraged, know that God is the one who is at work among us as a congregation, that indeed in His grace and love, there is new life found in Jesus Christ, even among us. The Apostle Paul was greatly discouraged, and God gave the gift of Christian fellowship, the encouragement of new converts, as well as the promise of God's own presence and power. Paul, one night, as we read in verse 9, in a vision, and this is the third vision recorded of the Apostle Paul, where the Lord spoke these words, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people." What a great encouragement this must have been to the Apostle Paul, to know that in this dark city, that the Lord God had placed His love upon some in Corinth who had not yet come to know the Savior, that indeed there was more work for him to do. We learn here of Paul's understanding of his theology of evangelism, that God is the one who is able to save, of His great sovereignty in evangelism as an encouragement to our faithfulness and our zeal for making the good news of Jesus known to others, that God is the one who is able to use His word and draw a people to His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a great encouragement this was. Before a church was established, when Paul thought perhaps that his work there was coming to an end. And while in many regards these words of our God to the Apostle Paul are uniquely for Paul, there certainly is application in a general sense for us. During college, I went with an evangelical campus ministry to Fort Lauderdale for spring break, two spring breaks. And my very first occasion, it was striking to look out and see how the people were not there to love and serve the Lord. And that evening before our first meeting, an older Christian man put his arm around me and he said, "Lean on the everlasting arms." That is what the Lord God is speaking to the apostle. Be encouraged. Know that I am the sovereign one. I am the one who is at work. Serve me with faithfulness and in love and in joy. And we're reminded of the promise. The promise is spoken of the scriptures of do not be afraid, as God appeared in the Old Testament where there was great fear with God's presence. This would be spoken. Or Christ in His resurrected appearances. Do not be afraid. And the glorious promise is that God Himself would be with the Apostle Paul and with each and all of us who seek to serve and labor for the cause of Jesus Christ, the one who is the great I Am, promised to be with Paul and is with us as well. The Apostle Paul responded in faithfulness. He ministered for a year and a half at this point, and he continued on. And I'm sure as he looked around at the people in Corinth, people who were spiritually dead, he would ask himself, is that one for whom Christ died? Is the Lord able to work in that person's life? Certainly a great incentive and a great encouragement. What about you? The ministry to which the Lord Jesus Christ has called you. And for us as a congregation of his people, are there not people in Colombia who God has given to Jesus Christ, who haven't yet embraced him and come to know him? Could there not be many in Colombia who are the Lord's people? And our job, like the Apostle Paul, is to be faithful with proclaiming and living the good news of the gospel. George Whitefield, a Christian leader of an earlier day, was traveling in 1741 through our state on his way to Savannah, Bethesda, Georgia area. And he was along the coastal area of South Carolina, an area where there were not many churches and the gospel was quite weak. And he wrote in his journal, I would be greatly disheartened were it not for the sovereignty of my God. May we be encouraged, much like the Apostle Paul, knowing the fellowship of our God. And then finally, we find in this passage the protection of God for the Apostle Paul, the frustration of Paul's enemies and the enemies of the gospel. The Lord promised that he would protect the apostle while he indeed was ministering in Corinth. And we find after he had ministered for a year and a half that indeed there was opposition from the Jewish people that rose up against the apostle, a claim which they brought before the proconsul. But how the Lord in his sovereignty used this Greek leader. His charges were brought against Paul. And as the apostle was preparing to speak his words of defense, the proconsul stopped the apostle. He dismissed the charges. If you were a lawyer, it would be like a summary judgment. He would dismiss the charges altogether. And God worked in a mighty way in faithfulness to his word of promise. What a great blessing the protection of God Almighty was to the apostle. We find at the end of the passage that as Paul left Corinth and traveled, that he cut his hair in fulfillment of a Nazarite vow. Without getting into all the details of Nazarite vows, the apostle Paul acknowledge thankfulness in his heart through this Nazarite vow and cutting his hair, that God is the one who is faithful. And it's a sign, a symbol of his encouragement as he continues on in the ministry to which God had given him. Do you find yourself this evening like the Apostle Paul? Disheartened, discouraged, heavy burden with the work to which God has called you and this congregation or in your home or at your place of work. Remember the gift of fellowship of believers, the saints. Be encouraged that God is the one who is at work drawing a people to himself, that indeed we enjoy fellowship with God himself, who has promised to never leave us and never forsake us. And then the promise that God will cause all things for his glory and for the promotion of the gospel of his grace. Let us give thanks to God for his love and his mercies. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we praise you, that you are a God who is gracious and tender, that you are the one who is interested in that we be renewed and restored when we are downcast and discouraged. We thank you for this passage, for your mercy and grace shown to the Apostle Paul, and for your mercy and grace that is shown to us. Strengthen and renew us. For Christ's glory and sake, we do pray. Amen.